Well, we're continuing our series, I'm In, and I'm excited. This is the third week in our series, and we've already covered two of the 4 points. And the I'm In, the I-N here, is actually the first two letters of all the words that we're looking at. We started out by looking at being invaluable, recognizing our value in the kingdom, not just because we're called, but because of who we are. Then we talked about last week being influential, that you are influential, that you are have an opportunity to do amazing things for God and simply because of your influence. And then today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be invested, investing our time, our talent, our treasure, and how that works in God's economy. And we're gonna look at that a little bit in a deeper way today. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be inviting? Not even just inviting others to join us on this journey, but recognizing that we are invited, that God invites us into his family, and his desire is to adopt us into his kingdom work and into his family, even this morning. So if you haven't had an opportunity, I want to encourage you to download the talk sheets for today. And the talk sheets are important because if you're watching this with a group or if you're watching this with other people, maybe you're watching this and joining it as a husband and wife, that you would have the opportunity to dialogue with one another. So you'll be able to find that on our website, trinitynazarene.org. You'll see a little bar on the top that says Trinity Anywhere. Select that bar, go down to the bottom, and you'll see our talk sheets. And then you also have to hit the plus sign to get the family talk sheet, because we also have a talk sheet for you as parents and family. That's an opportunity for you to be able to dialogue with your children or dialogue even with your teenagers and get them talking about the message. So throughout the message, we're going to stop a couple times. We're going to give you an opportunity to press pause, talk, and then when you're ready, you can press play. So this morning, like I talked about, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be invested? Invested. That's our I-N, I'm in word for the day. My parents taught me something very early in my life. They taught me that when you're invested, you're interested. When you're invested, you're interested. And this became really true for me when I started to become a cool kid. Now, name brand clothes, for some reason, automatically makes you a cool kid, especially in the 90s. Well, my mom would buy my clothes, and she would buy nice clothes, good clothes, but she wouldn't typically buy name brand clothes. If I wanted to have name brand clothes or like name brand jeans, my parents said, you're going to need to get those on your own. You see, because they knew something that I am even learning now, and I learned then, when you're invested, you're interested. You'll tend to take care of things better when you put your own money into it. Well, my investment actually led to an interest in washing clothes. And the reason was because my mom would wash my clothes. And I don't know if she did this on purpose or it was just the way that she did it, but she would fold my jeans with a nice crisp crease right down the middle of the leg. And literally, it would drive me nuts. And I would tell my mom, Mom, you can't fold my jeans that way. Well, my mom said, if you would like to have your jeans folded a certain way, then you can do the laundry. So that's what I started to do. By the time I was 12 years old, I was doing my own laundry because I didn't want my mom putting creases down the middle of my jeans. But again, I became interested in doing laundry because I had made an investment in my own clothes. You see, my investment led to my interest. Now, Scripture would agree with this point. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is interesting. This principle is true even for me today. You see, my daughter has braces. So I have a lot of treasure in her mouth. And now my heart has followed that treasure, and I have taken a very heart-deep interest in her mouth. I make sure that she is brushing her teeth. I make sure that she is taking care of her mouth because my treasure has been stored up inside of her gums. And it's true. Many of you who know and have had teenagers with braces, you would say the same thing. The other day, friends of mine, we were all kind of gathered around and they were talking about being season ticket holders. And it was an interesting conversation because they are heart deep in the decisions of the league. I mean, when the league comes out with an announcement, they're listening very keenly because it affects their season ticket status. And in fact, what's interesting, if you think about season ticket holders, they're heart deep in their team, not just because it's their team, but because they've invested in those tickets. So it could be 107 degrees, and guess where they're going to be? Watching the game, out on the field, on the sideline, face painted, ready to go. It could be negative 35 degrees in Lambeau Field, and guess what? Season ticket holders for the Packers, they're going to be out there bundled up, watching their team, and many times, not just because they love their team, but because they're season ticket holders and they invested good money into those seats. So I want you to think about the fact that the reverse is also true. So I bought a car, my family and I, we bought a car in July of 2012. Now, this was a 2013, I'm still driving it, it's my 2013 Nissan Altima. And we purchased it in July of 2012. So this thing was hot off the train. I mean, literally, it only had like 0.2 miles on the speedometer or the odometer because it was just came off the factory floor. And you know that everybody has the same rule when you first buy a car. And what's that one rule that nobody can break? No eating in the car. In fact, sneezing was negotiable. And my family knew, you do not eat in my car. You do not sneeze on the windows in my car. And you know, breathing is okay, but be careful. So what's interesting is, 8 years later, guess what's happened? My car has become a full-service kitchen. Not only does my family, including myself, eat in my car, but my cup holder doubles as a cheese dip container. I mean, we stuff food in all different places in order when we're driving on a road trip or we're going somewhere. I mean, it's amazing that my heart for my investment actually has worn off a little bit. And I think that's true for many of us as well. Think about the investments that we've made over time, and over time, our heart seems to be a little bit less invested. Verse 21 again says that your heart follows your treasure. If you want to have a heart for something, invest in it. And I mean investing your time, your talent, your treasure, especially your treasure. If you want to be heart deep in something, if you want to have a heart for something, invest it. Because as Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, this is a good spot for us to pause and encourage you to get out your talk sheet. Start out and look at the start out portion of the sheet. And again, if you want to find the sheet, you'll see a link that will come up in the comment section below, or go to our website, trinitynazarene.org, and the top click Trinity Anywhere, go to the bottom of the screen, and you can pick up the talk sheet. If you're joining us and you want to continue in the message, just wait 5 seconds and the message will continue right on. So I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now, it's interesting, as you're turning to Luke chapter 12, I want us to kind of hear what Jesus and the perspective that he brings when he talks about the caution of accumulating stuff. That's what Jesus really cautioned many times throughout Scripture about accumulating things. He gives examples and he reiterates this multiple times. In fact, we just read in Matthew 6:21, but I want you to look with me at verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says, right before he talks about the treasure in the heart, he says, "Don't store up. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal." Now, I want you to focus on this word here, store. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Now, I want you to think about it this way. Jesus is saying, poor, don't store. Poor, don't store. Now, Jesus wants us to take our time, our talent, and our treasure, and he doesn't want us to store it up. Instead, he wants us to pour it out, and especially on those around us. So Dr. Luke, the writer of Acts, in chapter 20, verse 35, was recalling something that Jesus had said. And he's writing it here in Acts chapter 20, but it's the words of Jesus. He said, you should remember the words of our Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give, poor, than to receive, store. It is more blessed to pour than it is to store. More blessed to give than it is to receive. So Jesus oftentimes would use earthly stories with heavenly meanings, and they were called parables. And a parable that he shared one time within a crowd of people is the parable of the rich farmer. Now, what's interesting about this parable is it gives the reason why he's sharing it right at the beginning. And it was two men, actually it was two brothers talking about, and they were fighting over their inheritance. And the one brother yells out, Jesus, make him divide everything with me. So Jesus recognized that there was greed that had settled into this one brother's heart. So the parable is going to reference and talk about greed and storing. So in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 18, reads, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Sounds like a pretty bad problem. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. I know, you might be thinking, what is wrong with that? I mean, that sounds, it's exactly what culture would tell us to do. That's exactly what the world would tell us to do. You don't have enough room for your stuff? Build bigger homes and build bigger things to store more of your stuff. I mean, that's exactly what culture would tell us to do. In verse 19, the farmer continues. He says, and I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, it's almost like funny. Almost like consider like he's like rocking on the porch, right? And he's like, self. He says, my friend, have you enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You remember Jesus is telling this story to make a point. For us, the point really sounds like the American dream. The goal is to work hard, store up, do as much as we can, and then coast. And I'll tell you, Jesus is about to reveal what God thinks about this strategy. Here it is, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything you worked for. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have rich relationship with God. Now, before you turn off the feed, we need to make sure that we understand what the parable is saying, what it's communicating to us. Is the passage saying, don't be wealthy? No. Is the passage saying, don't be responsible? No. What then is it saying? It's saying to be careful of the greed that resides in your heart. Be careful not to store up things that won't make an eternal difference because guess what? You've heard it said before, you can't take it with you. Instead, what it says is have a rich relationship with God. Don't allow the greed in your life to overthrow a rich relationship with God. The problem with the farmer was not that he wasn't financially responsible, because he was. It was the fear that God wouldn't provide. It was the fear that he had to build bigger buildings and bigger barns because he didn't believe that God was going to take care of him as he poured it out. What's interesting is the mentality here for him was mine, or it was don't touch. It was store it up, build bigger barns. I've got so much stuff, I need to hold on to it all. The farmer treated God as being stingy. And that's just not true of God. We believe that God is a God of abundance. He's a God of generosity. And I'm going to later kind of help us to see how we can show that to be true. Now, we also believe that it's all his. That is one of the big mental jumps that we have to jump in our life, is to recognize that all of this is his. All of what you have is his. All of what you earn is his. See, the farmer's fault is actually found in the pronouns. If we go back and we look at the parable and we see the pronouns that he described as himself and what he did or what he had, you'll actually see it right here. He says, what should I do? And then he says, I don't have enough room for all my crops. And then in the next verse, he says it again. He says, I don't have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. So we see that the mentality of the farmer was all about me, myself, and I. The farmer made one of the biggest mistakes that we make when we're handling God's money, believing that it's ours. You see, we believe that we are not the owner. Instead, God has placed us in the incredible position of being a steward. Now, the easiest way to know what a steward is to think about a manager. You see, God's the owner. We're the steward. We're the managers. All right, here's another good spot for us to stop. I know hopefully there's some maybe juicy dialogue that's going to happen through this time. And go to the talk it out portion of your talk sheet. And then again, if you want to continue going right along through the message, just wait 5 seconds and we'll jump right back in. But if you're watching this with a group, I encourage you to hit pause, have the dialogue and discussion. And then when you're done, just press play and we'll come back together. So I want to end this morning by talking about two examples of mindset. The mindset that I want to refer to is scarcity mindset versus an abundant mindset. These are two mindsets that are in polar opposite of each other when it comes to understanding God's desire for us to understand him as owner, as us as managers. And then when we talk about investing, do we invest with a scarcity mindset versus investing with an abundant mindset? So let's first talk about scarcity. The example I want to share with us is not just the farmer. We understand that the farmer was afraid to pour. But there's a popular Bible story about the disciples stealing a kid's Happy Meal. And the disciples really couldn't be blamed. Let me kind of explain the story. So they had a really long day. Jesus had already sent them out. They were gone all day. They were serving all day. And just like a good rabbi, he calls them back together at the end of their time serving, and they're going to debrief. So Jesus says, hey, let's go out together and let's sit down and we'll debrief about what happened. Well, as they were walking, crowds of people, which wasn't uncommon, started to follow Jesus and the disciples. Well, the disciples, you know, they're tired, they're hungry, they just want Jesus to themselves. And we see that this crowd begins to grow and grow. In fact, it's estimated that there were 5,000 men. That doesn't include the women and the children. So the disciples, all of a sudden in Luke chapter 9, they come to Jesus. You know, they kind of had a meeting. And they were like, Peter, you go. You talk to him. So he says, send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place. This is the disciples talking to Jesus. But Jesus said, you feed them. I mean, the disciples are like, Jesus, I'm not sure if you know this, but there's at least 5,000 dudes here, and that doesn't include the women and the children. And we don't have enough food to do this. But Jesus is challenging their scarcity mindset. In fact, the disciples give excuses. Look at verse 13. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Which, by the way, they stole from a little kid. Now, they didn't really steal it. You know, we don't know how it all went down. We know that in John's gospel, John said that the little boy brought his lunch. And the disciples were like, oh, thanks, kid. But they were like, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples. Check this out. So they could distribute it to the people. Think about this. It was his bread to give, and it was the disciples' responsibility to manage it. They all ate as much as they wanted. Sounds like a gracious God to me. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 to-go containers or baskets of leftovers. But I want you to look at this. When we go back, they ate as much as they wanted. Even in their scarcity mindset, they gave it over to Jesus. Jesus blessed it, broke it, gave it back to the disciples, and then the disciples were then to manage it to make sure it got to all the people. Are you seeing what's going on in this incredible story? Because the scarcity mentality was led by the disciples, but the abundant mindset was led by Jesus. The disciples were like, we don't have enough. How are we going to feed all these people? And Jesus is like, just bring it to me and watch what I can do with it. And that's exactly what we need to do when we talk about investing. Bring it to Jesus, whatever it is, your time, your talent, your treasure. Because here's one of the coolest takeaways that I can give you this morning. Jesus blessed it. The disciples gave it. And God multiplied it. That's the order here. Because here's the reality. They poured. They didn't store. They wanted to. They wanted to store. In fact, if the disciples just kept the food for themselves, they only would have had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But because they gave it to God, he multiplied it. So here's a really cool opportunity I want to share with you. At the end of October, on the 24th, we are going to have an event. I'm going to talk about it right now just a little bit to help us to think, well, how can we invest? Because I want you to invest in the people around you, to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure, to realize that there are opportunities to do that this week. And I pray that you'll find those. But a specific event that's coming up in the life of the church on October 24th is called Trek or Treat. And Trek or Treat is going to be an awesome opportunity to bring families together in a socially distant environment in order to do a scavenger hunt throughout the surrounding area of the church, and then to come back to the church and enjoy a movie together in our cars. We're going to do a drive-in movie night. You're going to be able to tune in your radio to the movie and be able to have popcorn and snacks, and everything will be done socially distant. And so we're going to need you and your help to invest in this awesome opportunity. So the investment will come by donating candy. We're going to need lots of candy because we're going to actually put bags of pre-wrapped candy at different locations, and then we're going to give everybody a map, and you have to figure out the clues as a family and go to those locations. When you get there, you're going to see an outpost. So again, it's all going to be socially distant. They'll be pre-wrapped, and you'll be able to go and pick up candy for your whole family. It's going to be awesome. We're really excited about this. We believe that it's a great event to be able to promote with your friends, your family, your neighbors, and our community around us. So what else does it look like? We are going to need help with putting all this together. In the time leading up to this event, we're going to need your help. And so we need you to invest. This is just one specific way that I'm talking about how you can invest. Because this potential event, not potential event, but this event has potential to have kingdom impact. Let's invest in things that have eternal reward. And so I just wanted to share that with you as we close this morning. I pray that you heard the message this morning that God wants us to pour, not store, right? Pour it out. Don't store it up. And to recognize that God can do more with what you give than you can do on your own. He wants to bless it. He wants to give it. And he is the only one that can multiply it. Would you pray with me this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for this this challenging message. Lord, as we hear in the world around us, store, store, store. And if you don't have enough room, build something bigger and so you can store more stuff. Lord, that we pray against the greed that potentially comes with that. Lord, I pray that each person that is watching this content this morning, that they too would come to a place where they would have a rich relationship with you. Because we believe, Lord, that in that rich relationship, you're going to encourage us and you desire to bless us, but we need to recognize that you're the owner and we're the managers. So Jesus, I pray that your word would come alive for us this week. Help us to find places to invest our time, our talent, and our treasure. And then Lord, we want to begin to pray now for Trek or Treat. We want to pray that this awesome opportunity, this awesome ministry, and this wonderful fun night will be profitable to the growth and expansion of your kingdom. Lord, we want to depopulate hell and populate heaven. That's our goal. And we thank you this morning for being with us. We thank you for this message, and we pray this now in your name.